Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by our special speaker, Pastor Andre Mansour. This message was recorded on June 26, 2016, and is entitled, Have You Met God?
My name is Pastor Andre, and man, I just love being at Hope Chapel, don't you? I just love being here. I love seeing your faces. I know I say that every time I come up here, but it's no lie. I love seeing every single one of you here. Because with each one of you, there's a story of redemption. And it reminds me, I have been redeemed too. Because if I wasn't redeemed, I wouldn't be up here. If I wasn't redeemed, I wouldn't have changed the path that I was on in school to go and study the Word of God. If I wasn't redeemed, I don't know where I would be right now. But each one of you has a story of redemption. And man, let me tell you, it's a beautiful story. No matter how many ups and downs, there is a story of redemption. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. And I want to thank you for being a great servant to the Lord and just wanting and yearning to come into church and accepting what the Lord has for you today. All right, friends, let's get into the message. But before we do, if you do not have a Bible or a bulletin, please raise your hand and the ushers will put one in that hand. And we just want to get into this. It's going to be good. And I promise I'm going to get you out of here on time today. All right. So before we go into anything, let's pray. All right. Well, Lord, I just thank you for today. And I thank you for everything that you are going to do in this place. Father, I thank you for those people listening to the podcast, that you're going to change their lives as well. Lord, you bring them to church, though. So, Lord, I pray that the words that you speak today will be comprehended, will be applied, and will be put into our hearts so that we would memorize it, Lord, and we would go do it into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so Pastor Paul a couple weeks ago came to me and said, hey, Andre, how do you feel speaking on Sunday the 26th? Great. Yeah, let me pray about it. Cool. So I went home, prayed about it, and I heard yes from the Lord. Awesome, yeah. Cool. Pastor Paul, I'm going to speak. What about? I don't know yet, but the Lord will reveal to me. So, get home, a couple days later, okay, Lord, let's get this done. What am I speaking about? Cricket. All right, Lord, let me get in the Bible and see what you're talking to me about. Nope, nothing. All right, I'm going to go to sleep. And so, go to sleep. It was a nap. Took a nap. My naps are about 4 or 5 hours long. My wife calls them sleep. I call them naps. I still fall asleep again at like 10 o'clock at night, so don't worry about me. I'm okay. I wake up with a song stuck in my head. And I'm like, not now. No, it was a secular song, not a Christian song. So not now, I'm trying to hear the word of God. And I'm like, okay, Lord, reveal it to me. What is it? Song plays over again. Okay, somebody press the stop button on this repeat cassette radio thing. And let me just focus on what God's trying to say to me. Lord, speak to me. Your servant is hearing. And it plays again. Man. And so I've heard it before. I didn't remember the name. Look it up. It's a song called Best Friend by Harry Nilsson. And it was only the first two lines. You can tell how crazy this was. It was only the first two lines that I was hearing over and over and over again. Not the whole song. I wish it was the whole song. But it was just the first two lines. And they went like this. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. And it was stuck. I was like, oh, man, what is going on? And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm sure you're going to speak to me in my sleep. I went to sleep at 10 o'clock. I went to sleep, woke up the next morning, and there it was. What? Lord, you want me to share about how to introduce their best friend to people? And God said, ding, 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 winner. Oh, you want him to talk about you to others. Got it. Okay, so that's what we're doing today. And that's what it is. The Lord put it on my heart, and man, it's been such a sweet time of preparation because it gets me so excited. I love talking to people about the Lord. I love it. It's the scariest thing ever, but I love it. There's that adrenaline rush in you that happens when you're saying it, but then after you say the first couple words and once you get past the stumbling, just like me right now, it gets easier, and you become funny, and you become very friendly. We'll get into how the conversation goes, but man, it's such a sweet time. And so the Lord gave me the title for this message, and the title is, Have you met God? And so we're going to be going into 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And if you could turn over there with me. We're going to be going through some scriptures today. You don't have to go to all of them. Just make sure you take notes so that you can be able to talk about it during mini church. So, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside from to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Whew. Whoa, that was a long one. That's a heavy one. It's loaded. We've got a lot of stuff that's packed into this set of scriptures. We've got a lot of commandments. We've got a lot of attitude things that we got to take care of. We got a lot of things to remember and memorize. Hey, he even says be ready in season and out of season. What? I thought in season means like, okay, we're prepping for the season, but we have to be ready out of season too. It reminded me, I played football, and I won't say the school because we never won a game. ended with Ina. But anyways, so we always prepared. Football time, football season was fall. Once fall time comes, everything, the whole school will be all decked out with everything, like, yay, go, mascot. And everybody was just cheering on the football team. I promise, I'm trying my best not to say who the school is. But we were ready in that season. But in here, we're hearing, be ready in season and be ready out of season. So what does that mean? It means we've got to prepare our hearts. Our hearts have to be ready no matter what. That no matter what we do, we have to be ready to talk to people. And so we're going to be looking at four different points today. And the first one is the approach. The approach is probably one of the hardest and is the most effective thing that you can do in here. All right, so approach. First off, approaching someone in a conversation. We got to prepare ourselves on how to approach them. So let me tell you about how not to approach someone. Okay, we're doing a little bit flashback back to my high school days. My mom's in the audience, doesn't know this story yet, but mom hears this story. High school, freshman year, there's this girl that I liked. She was in my English class. And I was, you know, football team. I was like, hey, I'm in football. I can ask out anybody. They won't say no. What? And that's wrong. So high school, after class, I go to this girl. Hey, you, with a face. This is literally how the conversation went. Do you know what tonight's homework is for English class? She can even, like, want to. Do you want to be my girlfriend? She was very uncomfortable. Let me tell you that. You know, I have a boyfriend. Ooh. Okay, cool. Well, forget about homework. Yeah, see ya. I go to the locker room and I'm talking to the guys. Hey, so I asked out this girl, asked her to be my girlfriend, but she said no, she has a boyfriend. Everybody paused, and you know something went wrong. She doesn't have a boyfriend. Okay, all right, well, that was a hard no. That was a very hard no with a lie stuck to it. So if someone would have taught me how to approach a girl better, I think I would have done a little tiny bit better. But I still thank God that she said no, because I am married to the most wonderful woman ever. She's not here, so I can brag about her even more so that she won't blush. She's going to hear this. All right. With that, I forgot where I am. Okay, with the approach. All right, we have to be really mindful of how we approach people when it comes to truly sharing God with them. Because it's just as if you have a friend and you're introducing them to someone else. I remember to me, with all of my close friends, I always want to introduce them to everyone else because I want to tell people how great my friends are. I just want to tell him, hey, this is my best friend. And guess what? He's amazing. He's really cool. He does all these things. I believe that one thing that we have to remember from today's message is that we ought to introduce God to people the same way. If you don't see God as your best friend yet, I promise you it will get there. It will happen. But first, you have to be able to accept the fact that God will be your best friend. So when we're talking to people, we have to really reach them. Say, hey, can I introduce you to my best friend? Have you met God? And so the preparation is the first part. And the preparation, preparing what you're saying, is not just writing things down. It's hearing from the Holy Spirit and hearing from God. You have to prepare your mind. You have to know that God will speak through you. You have to make yourself a vessel for the Lord to speak through. Because if you don't, you're speaking your own words. God's not going to be able to speak through you because you're going to block him off. They might still say yes, but it's going to be so much easier. I promise you, it's so much easier when we allow the Lord to speak through us. So when it comes to the preparation and the attitude, the two things that we're talking about. In Philippians 2, I'm jumping over to the attitude. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Our attitude matters, big time. Because if we go into a conversation with a wrong mindset, you can forget about it. If we go into a conversation thinking that I am going to do whatever it takes to win this person, even if I have to beat the scripture into them, no. God didn't beat the scripture into you. God didn't force you to do anything. What God did is that he sent his son and died on the cross for our sins. And then sometimes some people take it a little too far by yelling and screaming and shouting and cursing and blah, 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 and say, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm trying to tell people about God. No. Show me God, then I will consider God. Don't show me anger. Don't show me frustration. If you show me the work of the devil, I'm walking away from you. Anger, frustration, cursing, let that not be a part of your life. Love, joy, peace. How can we reach others? What's the fruit of the Spirit? We know what the fruits of the Spirit are. That's how we have to have our attitude. Our attitude should be of the fruits of the Spirit. Because if it's not, the war is lost. The battle is lost right away. Right away. Second thing, the reproach. Reproach is opposite of, well, it's the bad things that happen when you approach someone. It's denial. It's the people that just anger when they hear certain things. I come from a country, well, if you don't know, I come from Egypt. And over there, when we moved here, 75% Muslim, 25% Christian. Look the stats up right now, it's in the 90% Muslims, and the rest is Christian. Huge change. People, when they hear about God in those countries, especially about Jesus, they have Allah, which is not our God. When they hear about Jesus, they go crazy. The Middle East is a horrible place to be right now if you're a Christian, because you are 100% going to be persecuted in many ways. In many ways. It's not just murder. It's many other things. But praise the Lord that we're in a country where there is a little bit of safety. We know that there's craziness going around right now, but we will not get into that. But there is safety over here. And also, you have the ability to speak what's on your mind without getting persecuted to death most of the time. It still happens. But the reproach that we receive, it's hard because in verse 4, Paul says this to Timothy. It says, "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." We're called to fulfill our ministry. He doesn't say give up. And endure the work of an evangelist. He didn't say go to war. He didn't say wage war either. Because a lot of people can simply say, I'm not interested. Don't let that be a trigger point. Because you know what happens then? You've planted a seed. You planted the seed. And it's not up to you to finish everything, but it's up to you to allow God to work on them. Because if you don't allow God to work on them, then nothing much can happen. So, they plant the seed, you plant the seed, and now it's up to you. It's up to them to accept the Lord or not. I believe in the end days that when it's all said and done, everyone will stand before the throne of God and they will answer. And there is going to be this group of people that did not accept God. I'm sure that some of them will try to say, "Well, I never heard about you." I think God is going to have one of those Apple TV remotes with a big screen and be like, "Really? What about, let's watch this together." And then here it is. It's sad. It's a sad thing that people will deny God and will deny the fact that they heard about God. They deny the existence of God. But yet, it's up to us to really reach out to them. But we let God finish the job. Amen? All right, letter B, discerning the situation. In Matthew 10, 12 to 14, it says, you don't have to turn there. It says, "And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet." We ought to discern what we're going into before we go into it. That's the great thing of having the Holy Spirit with us. That's a great thing of having the Holy Spirit in us, functioning at all times, because we truly do need the help of the Holy Spirit, because it is such a huge thing hearing and sensing the right and the wrong, knowing what is to be done and what's not to be done, what's to be said and what's not to be said, because every situation is different. Every situation is different. We approach people in different ways. People have different kinds of feelings. Some people are more sensitive than others. Some can take a joke, some not so much. And us, we have certain personalities too. I'm not saying that we can have access to every personality, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can sense what's going on. We can feel, "Lord, reveal to me. Holy Spirit, you guide my words." That's how our prayer ought to be. Holy Spirit, you guide us. What do you want me to say today? How do you want me to approach this person? Sometimes you say, "You know what? Not yet. Don't approach this person yet. I'm still working on it." That's the best thing about knowing, because you're not getting blindsided at all. You have an advantage over the enemy. You have an advantage over everything else because you have the Holy Spirit on your side. So point three, the aftermath. And this is if everything goes well. If things don't go well, you just walk away and pray for them. But if everything goes well, we have to take care of, we have to consider two things: mentoring people and having a relationship with them in a non-mentoring way. So mentoring is great, especially if you're approaching someone in your family. Let me pause and say this. Parents, you are the best mentors that your children will ever have in their life. Don't just say, "You know what? I'm going to let the pastor take care of it." I'm a pastor. I love being a pastor. I love mentoring people. But you know what? If more parents mentored their kids, we'd have less problems out there. Don't just rely on others to do the work for you. That's not what God's calling you to do. And I'm not just picking on the parents. Siblings, mentor each other. Uncles, nephews and nieces, you've got them. Family, that's what you're there for. You're family for a reason. Mentor those who need mentoring in your life. How often do you read bedtime story? Not bedtime story, sorry. How often do you read the Bible at bedtime? My greatest mentor in my life was my grandpa. When I was younger, there was not one day that would go by if I was visiting his house. He would read the Bible to me. I had the little thick Bible with all the cartoons in it and like one line. That's what we read. I made a total fool of myself when I was little. I was the little preacher boy. I was this big with a coffee table like this tall. And I would go up there with like their huge family Bible. And I would like slam my hand against the table like the preachers do in Egypt and start yelling. I don't even remember what I was talking about. And I remember I always talked about Joseph. Yeah, it was just weird. And my words didn't make sense. But my grandpa, he was my mentor when I was younger. And I'm so thankful for that. Because I feel like that seed got planted then. Even though I did not fully dedicate my life until later in life, I still have that mentorship. So family, mentor each other. Parents, mentor your kids. No matter how old or young they are, you still have a chance. You're still going to be older than them. They'll never bypass you. So, it's your job. God is calling you to that. And so, in a mentoring, talking to a person that is a stranger, it's very important for us to truly, really prepare our hearts on how to mentor them. First off, if you haven't done any mentoring before, it's really good to exchange numbers. And this is, again, it went well. The person is like yelling and screaming, you ask for their number. That's a little dangerous. But ask for their number. Ask them, can I pray for you? Can I follow up with you? Can we have coffee? People aren't into coffee nowadays, people. Those who don't drink coffee, well, tea is good. So can I have coffee or tea with you? Can I meet with you once a week for just an hour, maybe 30 minutes? I just want to ask you how you're doing. Don't over-Jesus them right away. That'll just get complicated. Don't give them 25 scriptures and tell them to read the Bible by next week. That's just way too much. That's a lot for me too. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." And in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We're called to be mentors. But what if you're saying, you know what, I'm not there yet. I don't think I'm there yet. Great. Perfect. As long as you know, then you know what? Get yourself involved in church. We have discipleship programs. We have programs offered for every single age group at this church. No matter what the gender, no matter what the age, we have something for you. I promise you. Call us up. Talk to one of the pastors here, whoever you feel most comfortable with. Say, I want to get plugged in because I want to be able to speak to people about Jesus, but I just don't know how yet. Come to the Wednesday night new class in July. It's going to benefit you. It's going to be great. And then we'll move on to the non-mentoring relationship. If you feel that way, but you still reached out to someone to talk to them, it's okay. You can still ask, hey, I'm going to be praying. If that's okay with you. Because I know you've just made a big decision for Jesus. You accepted the Lord. You accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so that's what I want to do. I want to continue praying for you. Is that okay? What's your name? And is it okay to become Facebook friends? I promise I won't stalk you. It's really good to do that. People will like that. Okay, nowadays, Instagram. Okay, so can I follow you on Instagram? People will like that. It's going to be great. And then the last point, as I invite the worship team up, the reward. There are rewards. They get a reward, we get a reward. And guess what? Their reward is heaven. It's eternal life with Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that that God raised him from the dead, guess what? You will be saved. If they do that, that's great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And guess what? We get rewards too. In Matthew 5:12, it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward is in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But you've done your work. You've done your work. You did what I asked you to do. You did the work of the evangelist. And your reward is waiting for you in heaven. I'm giving it to you. I know that after the Apple TV video clips that God's going to show afterwards, that he's going to show this huge screen or show this huge something. He's going to say people's name that have done the great works, and then he's going to be giving accolades. Don't compare yourself with any other person. Don't say, well, I'm not as good as so-and-so. Don't. God's calling you to be you. Because if you try to be someone else, that's already taken. So you do what God's asking you to do. So as we dim the lights, thank you, worship team. I want to leave you with two last things. First thing is that we have to always remember that before Jesus was anything else in your life, first, he was your Savior. He was the one that came and died on the cross for you. And we have to tell people that, because people will say, many times I've heard people say, you have a very needy God. Your God asks for too much, and I just don't know if I can handle that. Well, friend, let me introduce you to God. He's this one. This God, he's amazing. Not only did he create you, he's your healer. He's your Savior. He's the one that will take care of you. He will bless you financially and physically and in every way. He's going to give you things that you didn't even imagine. What more do you want out of a best friend? He's going to be there to listen to you. And guess what? He wrote a book that has in it all answers for your problems and the problems that are going to come in the future. What else do you want? And last, I know that there's an opportunity to be taken right now. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or you're listening to this online, if you feel like you've heard about this God person, about God, and you just haven't experienced him before, let's take this opportunity together. Let's do this. So friends, can I introduce you to God? Can I tell you about my God? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads together. If you feel like this spoke to you, if you feel like what I said kind of echoed in your mind, and you say, yes, 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 I want God in my life, I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking, I promise. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe some others may have felt like, yes, I was in this amazing relationship, I was in this amazing friendship with God, but I don't have it anymore. I wasn't talking to him that much anymore, and I feel like we disconnected. Friend, let me tell you this. God is still pursuing you. He hasn't given up. He still wants to be your best friend. And so if this is you today,
Can you raise your hand? Give me that act of faith. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, friends, let's do this together. I'm gonna guide us in a prayer, and I want us to pray this together so that everyone that raised their hands would feel like they have support. We are a very supportive family here at Hope Chapel. So let's do this together, because man, there is amazing things that are to come. So let's pray this. Dear Jesus, I come to you. I know that I have sinned, and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you sent Jesus to die and shed his blood on the cross, and I am willing to turn from my sin. Right now, I confess to you, Jesus, as you are the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised you from the dead. This very moment, I accept you, Jesus, as my only personal Savior. And now I know that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 church. Wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Ah, this is so beautiful. Friends, we've got a weapon on our side that no one can take away. They may take everything, but they'll never take away the word of God.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.